Our scripture reading comes from Titus 2. Paul wrote, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be revealed. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bond servants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. This is the word of God." The children are now dismissed for Connect Kids.
Has some specific responsibilities. And some of those fall into the category of what you and I might call household chores. Now, at our house, I cut the grass and do the larger outside and inside projects. I also typically clean the bathrooms and the floors, but not always. I cook once or twice a week, and cooking means warming up leftovers sometimes. But Mary does pretty much everything else. And I'm good with that. And the everything else includes dusting, laundry, shopping, most of the cooking and weeding of the gardens. And I'm sure I'm missing some things, but you can probably tell I have a pretty good life. It works. But the fact about life is, life always brings changes. And I like that, because life is filled all the time with new adventures. And our family actually changed back in August. Our empty nest, as some of you might know, is not quite as empty these days. And we couldn't be more thrilled. Our new adventure is making us feel younger. And the change was this. We now have an amazing young woman, Miranda, living with us. Miranda goes to Bayless High School in South County Tech. She's got a 4.3 grade average. She's a cheerleader. She sings in the school chorus and is on student council. She's got a great attitude. And I did get to say this with permission from her first. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about Miranda a little bit this morning is because she did something the other day that just totally blew my wife and I away. It was pretty incredible. It actually caught us off guard. And I'm glad that I was sitting down when she shared. You see, because most teens wouldn't do this, but Miranda did it. Are you ready to hear it? And I'm glad you're sitting. Miranda asked us what chores she needed to do around our house. She even asked Mary to give her a weekly list of what needed to be done so she could check it off. I mean, what teenager does that? And just so you know, we're taking her to the doctor next week to find out what's wrong with her. Now, although as I say that, I'm sure some of the teens in the choir loft, they do that all the time. But I got to admit to you, I never volunteered to do chores at my parents' house. Maybe cut the grass, but only if I was paid to do it. Mary did lots of chores growing up because they were forced upon her. Every Saturday morning, she had to clean the house before she could leave the house. And our boys were great, but I can't remember them as teens volunteering to do chores. Again, what teen volunteers to work around the house. Well, Amber just read a couple minutes ago from Titus chapter 2, and Paul began this chapter by writing, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine." You see, Titus was setting us up here. He was going to teach some very important doctrinal issues. And some of us like to talk about doctrine, but most people find doctrine about as much fun as watching our Cardinals blow a lead in the ninth inning. And that's because doctrine is a lot of times associated with really deep theological things. It can be difficult perhaps to understand and comprehend. It might seem boring. Well, Paul's teaching of sound doctrine actually concerned roles and responsibilities in the church community. And so I like to substitute the word family for community, because Paul's lesson really was a down-to-earth lesson in church family responsibilities. But it also applies to our homes. And so this doctrine is very practical. This doctrine you're going to see can be understood. It's not boring, but it's very challenging. The original purpose of this teaching was to make sure that church in Crete would have a strong foundation to resist the lies of the false teachers. When each person in a church is performing their role in that church family, it provides a level of protection. It's the same in our houses. Dr. Brian Chappell shared some examples of the practicalities of Paul's teaching. He wrote, "Paul's teaching will help the businessman whose industry is characterized by compromises contrary to the gospel. This businessman suspects that his challenge of the system was going to bring failure to his career, and yet he knows in his heart that he's called to model Christian dignity and integrity. And in doing so, when he does this, the businessman actually fights against the false teaching of his industry." A second example is the young mother who is wrestling what Scripture says about her commitments to her family as opposed to what the culture says about her value in the workplace. Paul's words assure her of her value both at home and at work. And then thirdly, there is the family that's so caught up in materialism that they don't even notice that it's become a sin. Now, I want to say right off the bat, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. Those are the gifts from God. But the problem is when they become our priority. Materialism leads to a life that is unfulfilled. It's unfulfilled financially, relationally, and certainly spiritually. And Paul teaches contentment. In Bethesda, if you think about it, Bethesda is truly a family. We're a church of strong family ties. We're a church that has family values. And in today's nonstop world, authentic community is something people desire. But even though we do that, we can't sit still. We need to strengthen those family values if we desire to reach the next generation. My hope is that today's message will help us both at home and in the church. This is the second week of a three-part message series based on Paul's letter to Titus. And we've titled this series B2B. And if you missed last week's message, you can get it on our website or on Facebook, or you can go to our podcast. Now, as a refresher, B2B, our belief to behavior, it is the inseparable link between faith and practice. The Christian faith is supposed to produce godliness in our everyday living. What we believe always shows up in how we behave. And so B2B is about discipleship, it's about family, and it's about living for Christ. And our primary focus in our passage this morning is on family. And Paul broke this family down by gender and by age group. And we're going to do the same. And each group, as we go through them, each group is going to have their own specific challenge. Paul began by addressing the older men. In our Christian family, older men model Christian dignity and vibrant faith. Now, I do want to stop before I go any further to define what Paul means by older, as in older men and in older women. And as I thought about this, it became really clear that if you have to ask the question, am I older? You are. Thank you, dear. With that in mind, look at verse 2 where Paul wrote this. He said, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. You see, older men are to be the natural leaders of the church family. There is a sense that these men are worthy of our respect. They've earned it. If they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're involved in the lives of others, particularly younger men. They exhibit behaviors which are described by words like faith and love and endurance. The older men focus on God as they teach sound doctrine to those around them. And I don't have to tell you guys, this is a big challenge. Most of us men have some days that we're good, we're walking with the Lord, we're living out what we believe, but then we've got those other days where we stumble. But we remember that we're forgiven. And we get right back at it. We realize it's our calling to be the spiritual leaders of our church and of our family. And that means we show up on Sunday mornings. That means we pay attention. It means we read our Bible and we go out and we serve other people in Jesus' name. We lead prayer in our households. We set the example. And guys, I want to be honest here. If you're like me, that example that we set isn't always the best. We teach the younger men. Now, teaching younger men doesn't mean that we try to get them to be just like us. It's normal to do that. We want to make little clones of ourselves because, after all, we know what's best, right? But we got to remember that times have changed. Many of our tradition and many of the ways that we used to do things don't work well today. But that doesn't mean, though, it doesn't mean that we compromise the truth. Instead, as Paul did so well, we become all things to all peoples. In other words, we meet younger guys where they are. We walk with them. We help them grow. And the amazing thing is we grow in the process. We lead as we serve alongside younger men. I've seen it work. I've seen it work in this church. And there are actually some plans for such discipling later this fall. Because most of us guys, we don't care a lot for going to meetings all the time. And I get that because I'm not a big fan of meetings. Guys most often like to see something accomplished. They want to see a project with a clear beginning and a clear ending. And so that brings us to the challenge for the older men. For the older men, the challenge is to be strong spiritual leaders. Strong spiritual leaders. Again, that means that we pray. We read our Bible. We're more active in our faith. We set the example. And I would say, ask God, not just once, but many times. Keep coming back to God to show you a younger man that you can invest in. And if you're married, seek God's guidance into how to better love your wife. And if we do those things, we will demonstrate Christian dignity and vibrant faith. Now, in our Bethesda family, the older women teach family values and the Christian lifestyle. Now, I got to be honest, I don't feel comfortable calling any woman older because that can get us into trouble. So when Paul says older, let's just think of our more established women. These established women are to teach the younger women. In verses 3 through 5, it says, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Hopefully you notice that Paul wrote older women likewise. And what he's saying here is these established women, just like the older men, are supposed to teach sound doctrine. They are to be reverent. They're not supposed to be slanders. Simply meant that the tongue needs to be controlled. Established women don't get drunk on a lot of wine, which relates to controlling your appetite and your desires. And then Paul goes through this list of things that the established women are to teach the younger women. And it all revolves around family. It all revolves around lifestyle. See, ladies, you are to model and teach godliness. And so share what you've learned with the younger woman. But again, I got to tell you to be careful. The younger gals don't need to hear you saying, "You think you got it tough? Man, back in our day, we really had it tough." They don't need to be told, "You know, you're doing it all wrong. This is the way it has to be done." Be sensitive. Be flexible. Just like with the older guys, remember, the truth doesn't change, but its application can look different over time. Your faith, your life experiences are valuable, and so share them. A goal of our more established women is to mother one or more young women in the church or in their family, and some of you are already doing that. To our established ladies, think about how you raised your family. Think about how you cared for your husband, or if you didn't have a husband or kids, how did you care for the people that God put into your life? And your challenge is to share your godly wisdom. With that, we come to the younger women. Younger women are to make family a priority. Paul instructed Titus to have the established women teach the younger women. And then going back to verses 4 and 5, again, the younger women are to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. In other words, they honor God in their actions. Now, with those words up there, I'm guessing there might be a few questions about Paul's instructions. And let's start off with talking about younger unmarried women. There's some in the choir loft, there's some in the pews this morning. Paul's teaching's for you as well. You are to care for the family that God's given you, whether they're your biological family or a family of people that are close to you. You've been created by God as a woman. You can't change that. And as such, you've been given the ability to care for others in a way that men are incapable of doing. Guys are just wired different. And so use those gifts from God to be a mom, even if you're not officially a mom. If you're single, keep yourself sexually pure. If you've not been pure, you can rededicate yourself to purity. Younger women show kindness. They submit to those in authority. And then Paul in this passage here made a couple other statements which might sound objectionable today. Paul said younger women are to be working at home. He wasn't saying that women cannot work outside the house. Proverbs 31 speaks of the woman who fears the Lord. In verse 16 of that proverb, it says, this woman purchased a field and worked in the vineyard she planted. Then in verse 18, it speaks of the woman selling her merchandise. In verse 24, the woman makes linen garments and sells them. And what is clear is that women can work outside the home. It's biblical. Women, you can be extremely successful. The Greek words here that were translated as working at home literally mean home workers. You see, the woman has the responsibility of caring for the household. And again, I want to stop here because that doesn't mean that the men don't have to help with the kids. It doesn't mean that the men don't do laundry or the house cleaning. But what it does mean is the woman should make the household her priority. Paul also said that women are to submit to their husband. And that too is biblical. Ephesians 5, if you've never read it, speaks directly to that. Now that being said, it doesn't mean that the woman is to be a doormat to her husband and that he can be a dictator. Because if you read that passage that specifically talks about the woman submitting in Ephesians 5, if you read ahead of that, Paul says that we are to submit to one another. Paul taught that husbands are to